He didn't steal the thing. Benjamin didn't steal the thing. But he's taking responsibility. Ain't that something? Do you know anybody in history who has taken responsibility for something he didn't do? How about Jesus Christ? Didn't he take responsibility for your sins? Amen. If you're saved this afternoon, didn't he take your punishment? Amen. Did he go to God the Father with this kind of response? With his protest banners? No. That's not how authority works. You've got to understand that Judah, somebody has trained him, maybe his father, maybe his God, I don't know, but somebody trained him how to respond to authority. And he says in verse 17, he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up with peace unto your father. See, there Joseph's telling them, I want Benjamin here, the rest of you can go back to your father. Don't care to ever see you again. Then Joseph came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. In other words, you're the top dog. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said, O my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, or if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come with you, he shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And he said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, You know that my wife bare me two sons. Well, bearing 12, and a daughter. It must have been hard for Judah to listen to this. You know that my wife bare me two sons, and one went out from me and said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that should come upon my father? And Joseph broke down crying. He couldn't handle it that Judah had such a good response. Now what Judah's making here is an appeal. There's four aspects of appeal that you got on your sheet of paper. The first one is you explain, you review the circumstances. What can we say? We are caught red-handed. We are guilty of sin. I'm not complaining about the police force. I'm not complaining about the jurisprudence system. I'm not complaining about the crooked judge. I'm not complaining about the guy that takes bribes. I'm not complaining. I'm letting you know that we are found with a cup in the sack of Benjamin, and the circumstances are that we're under your authority. We are guilty as sin. Now, Judah didn't steal the cup. But you see, you are supposed to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means. there's going to come a time when you're going to have to take the responsibility for something that you didn't mess up. You're going to have to take the responsibility for it. There may come a time when your wife says something stupid. More likely, it's a guy that says something stupid, and she's got to keep her mouth shut. And a good wife does. And a husband protects his wife. Why? Well, the two should be one flesh. I'm closer to Alice than I was to my mother. That's the woman that God gave me. And I'm the fellow that God gave her. And I'm kind of happy with that arrangement. And what are you going to do, preacher, if she runs out and spends $150 foolishly? I'm going to probably keep my mouth shut. $150 is cheaper than alimony. It's cheaper than divorce. It's cheaper than making a big stink out of something. But she's never went out and spent $150 foolishly. Now, I, on the other hand, have spent far more than that. When I got right with God, I also had to explain to Alice. But the second thing he does is he explains the dilemma. You see, I told my dad that I would go surety for the boy. In other words, it's my life for the boys. If the boy doesn't come home, take my life. But I'm here to see to it that that boy comes home. And I told my father that. Now, Mr. Egyptian, what would you have me do? I told my father that I'd go surety for the boy. Essentially, because Joseph knows the story, essentially Judah's saying, I already been down that road. I already went home and carried a bloody coat. I already went and showed Dad what happened to his youngest son at the time. And to this day, my dad thinks he's dead. Now, he didn't confess this to the Egyptian, but in his heart he's thinking, we sold him into slavery, don't know what happened to him. Didn't know he was looking him in the face. But the idea was that Joseph says he doesn't know who I am, but he won't repeat with Benjamin what he did to me. Ah, responsibility. A guy that understands authority can make an appeal. Yes, I'll sing tonight, Pastor Harrison. Pastor Harrison, could I see you privately for a moment? Sure, sure. You want to step over here by the coffee machine? Sure, sure. Listen, Pastor Harrison, I can't sing a lick. And I'm more than willing to go up on the platform and embarrass myself if that's what you want. But I think what you want is a good song to bring glory to God, not something to bring shame to man. And I'll try to find a substitute for me that can sing if it's all right with you. What are you doing? You've told the man, yes, that you would sing. But you are quaking in your shoes that he won't live up to it. Because you, not everybody can do what those three gals did. I have all my life wanted to sing in a male quartet. And never happened. I've had male quartets in my church, but they don't invite me to sing. With good reason, did you hear me? So what's the deal? One of these days, wait till you hear my glorified body's voice. I could sing four-part harmony all by myself. I got a promise from God, I'm eventually going to get there. But you got to understand authority. Authority keeps some things from you so that you got cause to stay in an attitude of prayer. So that you've got cause to stay in need. Boy, Pastor Keck, that was one of the finest messages on repentance that I've ever heard. Right. I'm glad it blessed your heart. but I'm not going to listen to flattery. I can still preach a better message than that one I just preached. Why? Because otherwise you get the big head. Hey, Scotty, anytime you want somebody to come over and preach a message on repentance, I got a great one. Just want you to know. Pastor Grohl, blow you out of the water with that message, man. You can't pastor like that. You can't live like that. Okay, Pastor Keck, I want you to come and preach on repentance. I'm going to pray about it, find out God's in it, and then we'll decide. But while I'm there, you're my authority. And if you say, I want you to preach on anything but repentance, then I'm not preaching on repentance. It's your pulpit, it's your church. You're the authority. I went into a man's home one time, member of my church, and he popped a beer right in front of me and said, Preacher, is that all right if I have a beer while we talk? I said, well, this is your house. I guess you can do what you want to in your house. I'm not going to tell you what to do and not to do. Now, be prepared. If you come Sunday morning, I'm liable to tell you what the Bible says about drinking. But I'm in your house now. You're the authority here. You pop all the beers you want. You help yourself. What do? You leave then, preacher, to get? No, I stuck around. Boy, I was there to try to help the guy. You can't complain about the circumstances that aren't working out to your favor right in front of your face. You got it? You make an appeal. Oh, did you hear? What you don't do is go to another Stack Force member and say, did you hear what Pastor Harrison asked me to do? Does he have a brain in his head? That's gossip. You don't do that. You don't go to another Stack Force member and say, Courtney, please, teach me how to make an appeal. I'm teaching you right now so you don't have to do that. Hope you're paying attention and taking some notes and filling in the blanks. You may need it at camp. Have you ever shot a high-powered rifle, Cassie? Don't think so. I've got to try to arrange it to get it done at camp this year for you. You're going to have to put a 30-06 up at your shoulder and pull the trigger. How's that make you feel? Hey, amen. I'm going to stand behind you all the time. You never want to get in front of a woman with a gun. So, you're going to be asked to do something. Clean the bathrooms when you want to do something else. You're going to want to be on Team A and you're assigned to Team B. And all that kind of stuff that goes on. You need to come up with what's the circumstances that are bothering me here? How can I present them to the authority in a dilemma and then suggest an alternative? Here's my alternative, Mr. Egyptian. Put me in slavery in Egypt and let the boy go. You ever have a brother that's willing to go to slavery for you? That broke Joseph's heart. He couldn't handle that thing. It got to him. Now, he's wearing the clothes of Egyptian. He's cut his hair like an Egyptian. He's got the mannerisms of an Egyptian. Judah's got no clue that this is his brother. But it got to him. Now, listen, there's been notable appeals in history. I don't have time to go into a bunch of them with you, but the point I'm trying to make is it's just an important part of your understanding of authority is that I must respond as authority requests, but I have a right to ask to see him privately. All right, listen, Miss Lou, I want you to go over a corner, stand on your head, and spit nickels. Well, she's liable to come and make an appeal and say, I can stand on my corner in my head, but I don't know how to spit nickels. All right, now listen. I could look at her and say, you're going to have to learn because you're going to need to do it tonight. What's just happened? Her appeal got shot down. Do you know anybody in the Bible whose appeal got shot down? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not as I will, as thou wilt. And he went to the cross. Correct? to suffer for something he didn't do. Correct? Amen. He became a sacrifice for you. Correct? Did it work?
Yes.
Yeah. You see, if your appeal is denied, there's no greater, plainer call in the Bible to suffering than that one. You're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to put up with it. You're going to have to sing, though you sing off key. You're going to have to... What's the deal? Well, you have the right of an appeal, but there's no guarantee on human level that the thing is going to get accepted. So you review your circumstances, you explain the dilemma, you suggest an alternative, and you make your appeal. And if the appeal's denied, enjoy suffering. Paul says that I might know him and the goodness of his riches in glory. No, that's not what he said right there. He said that I may know him and the great fellowship we can have in private. No, that's not what he said either. He said that I may know him and somebody help me out. How does that cut? And the fellowship of his sufferings. Yeah, Paul had the right response to authority. Now, he didn't always exercise it. You remember when he was told 3 times not to go to Jerusalem? Jerusalem, and he went anyway? God told him he wanted him in Rome. Where did Paul end up? He got to Jerusalem, caused a riot. God had him arrested, put on a Roman ship, and taken in chains to Jerusalem, or to Rome. See, God's will is going to get done. The question is, are you going to go in chains or are you going to go rejoicing? Paul's on that ship in chains. And he's saying, throw off the lading and do your best to head for land, but stay with the ship. Now, if you were a sailor blown up and down in the Adriatic Sea, for 14 or 15 days straight, no let up, day and night. I've never been through a storm that's that long. 14 days? Blowing up and down in the Adriatic. Wouldn't you be inclined to spot a tree on shore and dive overboard? Yeah. Why, enough of this, man. But Paul said, stay with the ship. He's the spiritual authority on site. The captain and the Roman soldier in charge of the police and all that other kind of stuff. Eventually, listen to Paul. It's a good thing they did. They saved their lives. They were wet when they arrived on shore, but they were safe. Did not even record any of them were injured. What? They obeyed the authority. While Paul was suffering the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune from having disobeyed the authority. Did he come back strong or what? You see, even in disobedience, when you get your attitude right about authority, it can get straightened out. No straightened out attitude, no straightened out circumstances. You gotta get your attitude right. Let's design a prayer. I'm not going to give an invitation here today, but let's design a prayer. If say that we were asked somebody to come and somebody to sing and make an altar out of those tables and whatnot, and you were going to come and you were going to confess the sin that you've not got the right approach to authority and would like some help from God. Somebody start the prayer out. How do you start?
Dear Lord.
Okay, that's a good start. Dear Lord, we at least know who we're talking to. Dear Lord, help me out.
Thank you for your
Thank you for the message. All right? Dear Lord, thank you for the message. Let's take some responsibility here.
I know that I've sinned.
I know that I've sinned. Ooh. Quentin cut right to the quick, didn't he? I know that I've sinned. In that I do not have the right approach to authority. Dear Lord, I need grace That's the desire and power to do right. I need grace to fix my mind about authority. All right, a lot of people waste time. Dear Lord, that's a great message and it touched my heart. And sure would like some help. Thank you. See you next time. They answered an invitation, but they didn't take any responsibility. Why does a preacher preach to you? To the subverting of the hearers.
Amen.
God's supposed to give me authority to affect your spirit. Say, but I'm a sinner too. Yeah, I don't quite understand how all that works. But I've had a pastor with it. I know several sins in his life. In fact, the guy's a flat jerk. I'm not even sure God called him to preach. And while I'm sitting there, I say, Lord, that's not the right response to preaching. I don't care who this guy is or what kind of yahoo he might be. I know that you can touch my heart with the preaching of your word. So I'm going to ask you to fix my spirit while I listen. And he does. And I get something out of the message. I don't know if the pastor taught me or the Holy Spirit taught me or both, but I just know that it worked out because I changed my attitude about authority. When the guy's preaching, he's not a jerk to me. When the guy's teaching the Bible, he's not a sinner to me. When the guy's trying to help me, he's a friend to me. Faithful are the what of a friend? The wounds of a friend. I can tell by your faces I wounded some of you this afternoon. That's good. It's exactly what I intended to do. I want you to understand that you need to have a right response to authority towards your parents, your pastor, the police on the corner, the instructor at school, the boss at work, whatever. Abby works at McDonald's. Probably works for a lost man. Don't you imagine there's a time or two when her spirit needs to be tweaked? Yeah. Listen, your own parents tweak you once in a while. Why does God allow that? To show you that your response to authority isn't as strong as you think it is. And it needs to be stronger. All right, personal tale. It came to me about Matt Grohl being camp director. And I said, I'm 100% behind that. Yes, sir. And somebody said, well, you didn't even comment on his character. And I said, I know his character. I've known him for years. Well, why do you have such a good impression of him when you don't minister with him every day? I said, we were at camp 1 year. And some man walked up to Pastor Grohl or Brother Grohl at the time, and said, listen, I got something I want to tell you about Pastor Keck. And Brother Grohl's response was, Pastor Keck's my friend. I don't listen to garbage about him. Why don't you find something else to talk about? You know, I've been wanting to give Matt Grohl a big hug ever since. And I'd do it right now, except to embarrass both him and me. But you understand, he has a right response to authority. When you have proven you can be in authority, you can prove you can be led, then you can lead. You can't lead until you're proven you can be led. You have to understand that your response to authority needs to be, dear Lord, I'm probably in sin. No, I am in sin. I don't have the right response to authority. I want you to forgive me. And I want you to give me grace. Let these 2 weeks of camp be a changing moment in my life. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for your attention.